Every month, speakers keep changing, but the drama doers are the same. So they are having more, I feel that they are having better stakes than the speaker in the Chetna festival. So today we have selected this topic of sound mind. So I felt that this is a very relevant topic to discuss on, and so many years I have heard about on this topic, so I thought that I would just share whatever I have heard with all of you. So nowadays, we see so many people, like how you saw this young girl who is a college girl, and she's all the time distracted by her mind, you know. She wants to do something good, but her mind is always distracting her to do various things, and that's creating an obstacle in her purpose, what she wants to do. So, but today, in today's days of consumerism, that's what been marketed, that you should earn a lot of money so that you can buy whatever you want in life, isn't it? You can buy a big car, then you can buy a big house, plush apartment at 40th floor, huh? Near the Mahalakshmi, race course, like that. So, everything, our market today, it is always proposing that you earn a lot of money and spend it and get whatever you want. But the peace of mind is something which you cannot buy. Can you buy it, the peace of mind? In fact, the more you have money, more it seems like whenever that the peace of mind is going little far away from you, you know. So I thought that it would be nice to discuss on this topic. And it's very important to have a sound mind, because it has a lot of effect on you as well as on people around you. So today we are discussing on this topic of mind. So there is a World Health Organization, the specialized agency of United Nations, which purpose, it has a purpose, it is concerned with the public health of international level. So this organization is running since April 1997, and they do a lot of statistics, they do a lot of research, and then so ultimately they have come to a definition of health. So let's see what this World Health Organization, which is based in US, is telling us about what is actual health. So they're defining health as a health is a state of physical, mental and spiritual being. So there are three components in this definition. There is physical, there is mental and there is spiritual. So most of the time we are taking part of only physical part, isn't it? Physical relates to our body, mental relates to our mind, and spiritual relates to our soul. So most of the time we are always worried how my physical health is. Now I cross certain age, how my lipid profile will be, how my cholesterol will be. I'm young now, so I should develop my muscles strong. Everything about the body, we are concerned. But little that we are concerned about our mental health. And so many, it's not that we don't come across problems with our mind. But compared to what problems we come across our body, that we respond to our mental illness, I would say mental disturbance, we don't pay so much attention. And we don't really try to take care of it, like how we take care of our body. And soul is like far-fetched thing, you know. We don't even think about it. We don't have time to think about it. So most of the time we neglect our mind and soul, like, theek hai, maybe we'll think in the future, you know, when I become old, like that. So WHO report in 2011 defined mental health. It's a state of well-being in which the individual realizes his or her own abilities and can cope up with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. This is what mental health they have defined as. And their statistics say that it's estimated that only 17% of the US adults are considered to be in state of optimal mental health, what they consider optimal mental health. And it's emerging evidence that positive mental health is associated with improved physical outcome also, physical health outcome also. So mental illness is existing, we cannot deny. And the depression is the most commonest type of mental illness that people come across. And again, the WHO statistics say that more than 26% of the U.S. Adult population is suffering from depression. Unfortunately, in India, such statistics are not available. The studies are not available at present. But this is quite alarming, like, because U.S. is considered to be a most successful nation in today's time. And there, this mental health is not up to the mark, and it should be, because they are supposed to be with all the facilities and all the power in the country. They are supposed to be happiest people, and they are supposed to be peaceful, satisfied. But the statistics doesn't show that. So, and what is the estimation? They estimate that by 2020, depression will be the primary disease which will cause disability in the world. In today's date, the ischemic heart disease is the most common problem. But their estimate is that, the prediction is that by 2020, mental illness is going to take over the world. So it's a serious issue, and we must pay attention on this. So what happens when our mind is disturbed, and when does our mind get disturbed? All of us face many situations in life which is called something called suffering. Many miseries come in everybody's life, whether they are rich or poor, or you are young or you are old. Miseries don't leave you. Sufferings come in different forms. So these miseries are categorized in three types. These are called adidaivik miseries, adi bhautik miseries, and adi atmik miseries. So what is adidaivik? Adidaivik means, daivik means natural calamity. Like how we, natural calamity means connected to our environment. Either there is no rain, or there is too much rain. A few years ago, our Mumbai city faced this problem of flooding in July. Whole city was flooded, and like people were stranded for days in one corner of the city. So many people died. So that is a misery, and definitely causes disturbance to our mind. Even though we saw so many people dying, they were not our relatives. But we were feeling so bad. We were feeling miserable at heart. And people were coming out, like people stranded for 2 days, they had not eaten anything. So people from the buildings, they would get down and give food to them. That's how people were feeling. That emotional rapport was built when people are suffering. So then that is the one kind, that too much rain. Then too much cold also sometimes causes. In China, we hear in the news, every year there is a cold wave and hundreds of people die because of the cold. And too much heat also, again a problem, natural calamity. And what to speak about the earthquakes and typhoons and hurricanes and so many natural calamities. Definitely, we don't feel happy about it when we hear it or see in the visual form in our news. We don't feel happy about it. So that's a one kind of misery. Another kind of misery is adi bhautik. Adi bhautik means that misery is caused to you, suffering caused to you by other living entities. In living entities comes everybody, whether they are bacteria or viruses which create havoc. When they enter, wrong bacteria or virus enters your body, then they create havoc in your body, right? Then so many kinds of animals, and most important, animal is human being, which cause you misery. We all can together say yes for that. So there's the adi bhautik, and there is adi atmik misery. What is adi atmik? Misery caused to us by our own body and our own mind. Body is aging gradually, so according to age, all the problems will come that will cause you suffering. That will cause you misery. You cannot avoid it. Old age, you cannot avoid it. And the mind. How mind is causing your problem? Just imagine when you are insulted or you are upset about something or you are really hurt in your heart. Your mind, your heart is really hurt. Then somebody will tell you, okay, take this tickets to Switzerland. Enjoy. Will you be able to enjoy? The facility will be there with you, but you will not be able to enjoy. Their most delicious pizza, your most favorite, or pasta, or cake, somebody gets you, and you are upset, but you cannot relish that cuisine at that time, because your mind is upset. It's not allowing you. Then, what are the other things? They seem to appear to give us happiness. Big house, lot of jewelry, dresses designed by the designers. But if your mind is disturbed, even if you have all of this at your hand, but they will not allow you to be peaceful and satisfied and happy. So mind is the most important. We are supposed to, why it's happening? Why the mind is so powerful? You cannot do anything about it. So we need to understand how this mind works. But unfortunately, there is no information given about mind in our medical textbooks. Nobody teaches us about our mind. How we should understand our mind. When problem comes, what should be the medicine? What should be the treatment when the mind gets diseased? But the answer is given in our ancient Vedic literature. Then it describes that mind is a very subtle element of the creation of the God. In creation of the God, there are gross elements. Gross means which you are able to see with your own eyes. And there are subtle elements which cannot see, but they are existing and they cause a definite effect on you. The gross elements, earth, water, fire, and air and ether. So in Hindu tradition, everybody is aware, this is Panch Mahabhut, they call. So these are the gross elements, which are the creation of the God. And along with there, the subtle elements, which are mind, intelligence, and ego. Mind, you cannot see. Intelligence, you cannot see. Your ego, you cannot see. But they are controlling you, isn't it? They are there and they are controlling you. Scientifically, they cannot prove mind looks like this or it behaves in this pattern, in this situation. Scientifically, they have not done any studies or they are not able to say, I would say, that studies on the mind. But our scriptures describe what is the mind. Mind is a subtle element. And how this mind is working on you? So, this is the picture where we see a chariot. There is a passenger sitting in the chariot. There's a driver who's driving the chariot. And the horses which are running the chariot. And the horse's control is there in hands of the driver. So, the analogy is that our physical body, our senses are the horses. Our intelligence is a driver. And we ourselves, a spirit soul, we are sitting as a passenger in this chariot of the body. So what are these reins with which horses are controlled? This is the mind. So the mind is a connection between your body, that is senses. Through, you can see in each horse different senses. There is a nose, there is eye, there is a mouth, different senses are there. So these senses are driven by our intelligence through our mind. So the mind is a connection between the body and the soul. This knowledge is given in our ancient, age-old Vedic literature, that is Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna described this knowledge to Arjun. So this is the actual situation, that mind is controlling our senses. But above that is the intelligence. What is the meaning of intelligence? Intelligent means you think, isn't it? If somebody is a dumb fellow just sitting there whole day, we say he has no intelligence, no IQ. No intelligent quotient. Intelligent means you are supposed to think. You are supposed to think what you are doing, where you are going, why you are going, why you are doing certain things, and why you are not doing certain things. We are supposed to think. So whenever we go to, since childhood, we go to school, then college. Then many times in the childhood makes us think, you know, why I have to go? Why I have to go through all these things? Let me just play and enjoy. But our parents tell, it is their intelligence. They tell, give us a good advice. This is good for you. You have to discipline yourself. You have to study, get a degree, and then that will be useful for you in the future. So that is intelligence. You know the purpose why you are doing it. If you go to shopping mall, you definitely know why you are going to shopping mall, isn't it? If you go to vegetable market, you know, you come to buy vegetables. You will not go and tell vegetable vendor, "Acha bhaiya, mujhe dawai chahiye hai ki aapke paas." You know that he will have only vegetables, or medicine will be only available with the doctor. And to doctor, you don't go and tell, "Doctor, my car is not working. I think some problem is there. Can you just see?" So we know where to go for what. That is our intelligence. But what happens when we go to temple? Do we think? Somebody asks you, suppose, "Oh, you're going to temple? Why you're going?" In student life, I used to answer, "Arey, my exam is coming. That's why I'm going." And sometimes exam is over. Results are going to come. So I'm just going to God just to pray, to make him happy, and then everything goes well. So that's the purpose of going to temple. But most of the time, in our Indian families, children or adults also sometimes, they go to temples because there is a family tradition. On Janmashtami, our whole family goes to temple. And we together do the Abhishek. We go to Radha Gopinath temple. We do Abhishek together. This is our family tradition. But why actually you are going? What is your purpose? Yourself, you have never think why I am going. What I am looking for it in that particular action, you know. So that's the thing. But our scriptures describe, what do the scriptures describe? What is a temple? They describe that a hospital is like a hospital. In hospital, what does happen? A sick person is treated, right? So the temples are meant to be for our sick mind. When our mind is diseased, then when we come to temple, then we regain our health of our mind. When we come to temple, when we take darshan of the deities, wonderful, beautiful form of Krishna, Radharani, then what does it do? It does mental healing. It does spiritual healing, which will not happen anywhere else you go. You go to shopping malls, you see all the girls' statues with the dress, you will not get spiritual healing. Will you get spiritual healing? You will get desire, "Arey, now I have to buy this dress." So actually your problem will increase, because then you will start working whether I can buy or no, what are the obstacles, how much money it needs, all that, you get into that whole cycle. So when you come to temple, it's for your regaining your spiritual and mental health. And very less people in India knows about it, because we don't think so much about temple. We think about so many things in our life seriously, but about going to temple, we don't think so much. So temple is supposed to be hospital, and where our mind is getting treated, our mind is regaining its original health, and we are becoming spiritually strong. That's the function of the temple. So this mind is creating so much importance in our life. So how to understand? There is certain mechanism in which the mind works. So how the mind works, there is a mechanism. And we are going to discuss about the mind, these 3 points, mechanism of how a mind is going working on us, and what are the problems which mind causes, and what is the solution. So the mind, mechanism of mind is, every one of us have a different attitudes in life. And according to our attitude, we perceive things. we will have certain kind of perception according to our attitude in life. And then according to our perception, we'll behave. That will decide our behavior. And that will give us some memory, and that memory will give us particular thoughts, and that thought ultimately will comprise our consciousness. And it's a vicious cycle. Once you get that consciousness, again that consciousness will decide your attitudes. This attitude is a very important. Srila Prabhupada, he started International Society of Krishna Consciousness. He spread in United States, and then he sent one of his disciples, Brahmanand Prabhu, to South Africa. So there he was trying to preach to these Africans, black Africans. So, and then he was, to some certain extent, he was successful also. So he invited Srila Prabhupada so that Prabhupada can give them guidance and inspire them in their spiritual advancement. So Prabhupada went there. And the next day morning, he went for bath. So he had to collect his clothes. He had dried it outside, but he didn't find his clothes, which he had dried outside. Someone had stolen it. So, and then Prabhupada said, okay, I don't know what happened. He took another pair of clothes, he wore it, he went to temple hall, he started his Bhagavatam class, and when he started Bhagavatam class, there were many devotees sitting, and he saw one boy, he was wearing saffron clothes, and that was Prabhupada's clothes. Okay? So he has stolen Prabhupada's clothes. So in Africa, they don't have any concept, you know. They had the concept that jo bhi samne aaya hai, jo bhi samne kapda hai, pen mandir mein pada hai, wo pen lene ka. Whatever is lying there, whatever you can see, wherever you find clothes, you pick it up and wear it. So Prabhupada had to start with that level that in Bhagavatam class he started, you should not steal Guru's clothes. Huh? From that level he had to start to preach to this boy. So the thing is that that's a basic attitude in life. So unless we change our attitude, ultimately we will not be able to change our thoughts and we will not be able to change our consciousness. So, suppose you have some friend, very close friend, and another girl comes to you and another ex-girl comes to you and tells that that girl, she's very your good friend, na? But I'm telling you, she always lies to you. She studies whole night in the house, and after coming in the college, in the morning she's already, I didn't study anything, I don't remember anything, I don't know how I'm going to fare in the exam. And she really convinces you, and then this girl comes to be the best friend, so-called best friend. And then she said, "Arey, what happened? You know, yesterday I put my alarm, it didn't ring only in the morning. Itna padhai kiya hi nahi hai, sab reh gaya mera. I don't know, how is your preparation? You have studied everything properly." So immediately doubt will enter in your mind, isn't it? Because depending on that information you get from the girl X, your attitude about this girl Y is going to immediately change, and it will come into a behavior, and that will, it will come into your thoughts and ultimately consciousness. So if we change our consciousness to mundane consciousness, from mundane consciousness to spiritual consciousness, then you can stop this vicious cycle. You can replace it completely by spiritually. So how you can change? When your consciousness becomes spiritual, then your attitudes also will become spiritual. You will think from spiritual point of view, everything. Then your perception also will change. You will see everything according to spiritual values. Then your behavior will also change completely, because you have certain values in life. And then your thoughts will become pure, pristine, clear. And then your consciousness again, spiritual. So we need to make our consciousness spiritual. But it's like a doctor-patient relationship. When doctor prescribes a medicine, this patient has to take it. He has to take it, right? Otherwise, how will he cure his disease? Doctor can give you advice, but ultimately you have to take the medicines, and that too on the regular basis. If the person is diagnosed diabetes, he understands, okay, now 1 month I will take and Then he leaves. What happens? He becomes more sick. So you have to take it on regular basis. And unless that person knows that how important it is for him to take that medicine, unless he has that knowledge, he will not take the medicine. So similarly, we have to know what kind of actually problems mind is causing to me. Then we'll take it more seriously. So there are three C's, they are categorized, which problems which mind causes us. There is compare, complain and criticize. There are three headings, because through this mind causes a lot of problems to us. So these are some quotes on comparison. Why compare yourself with others? None can do better job of being you than yourself. If you compare yourself with others, it will be vain and bitter, as there will be always persons greater or lesser than you. Winners compare their achievements with their goals, while losers compare their achievements with that of others. Compare your grief with other men's, then your grief will be seen less. So these are nice quotes on comparison. And we feel homely when we are reading about these quotes, because some or other times we have always compared ourselves with in certain situation to some people always. And what does, when we read newspapers, what do we feel? Chalo, so many people are suffering. Good, I didn't go to Uttarakhand. Otherwise, I would also died. Little solace you feel. Every day morning, some people have a habit of reading newspapers. Once Srila Prabhupada asked, because one disciple wished Srila Prabhupada, good morning Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada sometimes, you know, Prabhupada very unexpectedly, he will ask you something. So he asked, what is good about this morning? What's so good about it? And it's Prabhupada in front of you, you can't bluff. So he was speechless. So Prabhupada say, good morning means nothing bad has happened as of yet. That is good morning. So anything can go wrong in your day. It doesn't mean that morning is good means whole day is going to go good. So, what is this disease of comparison? We want to always establish ourselves as better than others. How this person is better than me? How is having this better than me? I am supposed to be the best. I do anything to achieve that. And various levels we compare. Various levels we compare. So, first comparison, you know, early time of our life, start with the education or talent. Education, अरे दो mark कम मिला, मेरा distinction रह गया. You passed, you are not. That's what happens in medicine, you know. That is, I have experience. In medicine, you are not, you don't pass at 35 marks out of 100. You pass at 50%. So even if you pass, that's a great thing actually in medicine. But since the students who enter the medical college, there is habit. They are very competitive. They are counting each and every mark. So they will count, oh, if I would have just got 2 marks more, I would have got distinction. He is not happy that he's passed, but he's miserable because of that, you know. And people, students commit suicide, they go in depression because of this comparing disease. It is called infection of our mind, that's comparing, comparison. And we have seen some years back, when SSC result was about to come, there were series of suicides. If you had read newspapers, SSC students, you know, they come under so much stress, expected result has not come, or it will not come. Before result came only, they did suicide. In IIT also, the best lot of our country, you know, most, they are supposed to be most intelligent people, students who enter the IIT. But there had been a series of suicides in different IIT centers of a country. And that's on regular basis. It keeps coming in the newspaper. So what is the problem? It's a comparison problem. And this is one spectrum of students that they are not happy with their performance. In fact, when I was in my college, I heard that one boy, he committed suicide. Why he committed suicide? Because in MBBS, he was gold medalist. But when he passed his surgery, he stood second. He couldn't take it. And he went to his room cut his artery, and when the room partner entered the room, he was lying in a pool of blood. Somehow they survived him, brought him back to the life. So this is a problem, you know, with most successful people, this problem occurs. So it has nothing to do with intelligence. It is something, all the things to do with our mind, where we don't pay so much attention. Then that's a studious class of students, and there are another class of students. They feel, अरे मेरा तो दो ही कटी है, तेरा तीन कटी है क्या? There another spectrum is there. They are happy being in the college. Even they don't pass, they are happy. And then they feel that getting admission into college is my business, or getting me out of the college's problem. So it's how you train your mind, how you develop your attitude in life. Like that you are going to lead your whole life. So that's the point. And everybody cannot be good in each and every skill. Everybody cannot be. If you think about the orchestra has so many musical instruments. Right now these girls were doing kirtan. One girl was playing kartal. There was then harmony was not there. Mridang was there. Then khanjri was there. Now kartal will think that mere ko mridang ke jaisa hi bajna hai. To kaise hoga? And khanjri will say that kartal is making much more better sound than me. I want to do like that. But we are not realizing that what we have. We are always wanting to have things which others have, but we don't realize that what good things God has provided us. We don't think about it. We are always concerned what other people plate is having. Prasad mein unlogo ko kya kya mila hai? What is missing in my plate? Have I got everything or no? All the items I've got or no? Something missing? So we are always thinking like that. That's the comparison. Another thing, comparison is wealth. People earn more and more and more wealth. First they have a one room kitchen, then they want one bedroom kitchen. Then they want two bedroom kitchen. Then they want three bedroom kitchen. Then the number of things keep increasing, isn't it? So wealth, again comparison. My friend got this big flat, I have to get better than him. He is earning this much, I have to earn more than him. He got job in this company, I have to got job in better company than him. Again comparison. But this is an interesting thing about the Alexander, about him whom we hear in the history. So Alexander, he conquered from Greece, he was conquering all the countries. And he had heard that India has the treasure, best treasure all over the world is in India. They have so much gold, they have so much wealth, people are so happy, there are nobody steals anything, there are no thieves, everybody is so happy, satisfied, because they have everything. So this Alexander wanted to get those things. So he came to India, but as soon as he arrived the border of country, at that time it was Hindustan. So as soon as he arrived, the speciality of India, which many foreigners are afraid, mosquitoes. One mosquito bit Alexander, he got malaria at that time. And that time there were no Apollo hospital or no branded hospitals, you know, chain of Wockhardt, chain of hospital, this chain of hospitals. So he was suffering, he was getting treatment, but he was not responding to it. So ultimately he realized that he will not survive because the disease had gone beyond certain stage. So he decided, I will leave my body in my country. So he again, whole army returned from the border of India. The powerful army, one mosquito bit and whole army had to return. And then on the way, again Alexander felt that his health is such a bad condition that he will not even reach his own country. So he called his ministers and he said that I have three wishes. You all should execute these three wishes when my procession is carried to the graveyard. So he's saying, number one is that all the four corners of my earthy should be all the four doctors who are treating me. Then, second was, all the wealth I have earned throughout the so many years, I have conquered so many kingdoms and they have gathered so much wealth, precious jewels, diamonds, gold. In my procession, before my dead body, you should spread everything. Huh? And third was that my dead body should be covered, but my hand should be open. It should be hanging in the air, like this. So then he said, why he wants that? He's saying, four doctors carrying my dead body means you may have wealth of the whole world, but when disease strikes, only God decides whether you live or die. You have no control over it. He thought that he's become controller after conquering so many kingdoms, but ultimately, I am not the actual controller. Actual controller is God. And doctors also, how much money you pay to the doctor, they will not. They cannot save you. They will tell you, we are trying your best. Every time if you have some relative who is seriously critically ill in ICU, doctors will say, it's not in our hand. We hope that he responds to our normal protocols and medicines, what we use in that disease, but they cannot promise in certain situations. In fact, one scientist, one wealthy man in US, he told scientists, he hired one scientist and gave him a lot of money. And then said that, okay, now I'm giving you so much money, you preserve my dead body very nicely. And since you are doing research, that one day you will bring back the dead body to life, you know, life. So that time you bring me back to life, preserve my body. But then son went to the scientist and said, I'm giving you double money than him, don't bring him back to life. Huh? So this is not money. So that was the first wish of Alexander. Second wish was that. What was the second wish? Huh? Precious jewels, stones. Spread them on the road. Means ultimately you have to leave everything and go. You can't take it with you. And all this empty handed you have to go. Empty-handed you come, empty-handed you have to go. This is message he wanted to see. So, about wealth. Then about the beauty. So many cosmetic industries through the advertisements. And most intelligent people get trapped. Use this shampoo, then you look like Aishwarya Rai. Use this soap, you look like Katrina. Huh? Use this powder, then you look like this. Huh? Use this oil, you look like your hair will look like Priyanka Chopra, but they don't know Priyanka Chopra is wearing wig in the advertisement. So, in most intelligent people also come into the trap because of this comparing mentality. And what to speak about power, prestige, position, fame, reputation. There also comparison, and people do anything for all these things. Next is complain. So again, there are quotes. Don't complain that you are not getting, but just be concerned that you are not getting what you deserve. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, he always would say, the first you deserve, then you desire. Then another quote is that you can complain that roses have thorns, but you can also rejoice that thorns have roses. Don't pray for the rain if you are going to complain about the mud. I had no shoes, and I complained till I met one who did not have the feet. So these are nice quotes, because we always complain in various situations in our life. So one very thin, lean guy was there. So, and people would real make fun of him, you know. Sometimes thin people, like me, we face such problem. Since last 20 years, people tell me only, now reduce weight. Huh? So, they keep telling me. So this thin person, he felt very bad. He went to church, he prayed to God, and then God sound came. Okay, my son, now I will help you only if you promise me. He said, I promise. So he said that you every day for 1 year, for half an hour, go to this mountain which is there behind the church, and then push it for half an hour, and do it for 1 year, then come back to me. But this boy had little bit faith in God, but at the same time he had doubts what kind of instruction, you know. But he diligently did it. But he had, while doing, he was never thinking anything else, but how God can be so ruthless with me, you know, he's giving me such stupid instruction. But he did it, and then he returned after 1 year. He says, I'm God, now I've returned. But I want to ask you a question. What kind of instruction you give me? You didn't bless me, but you just... Is it possible for anybody to move a mountain? You are telling me to push the mountain. So God, what God said? I told you only to push, not move. Huh? Saying you are pushing for 1 year every day for half an hour. Look at your muscles. You have become so strong. Hmm? And he went in all the season. He went in heat, he went in rain, all the winter. He properly followed God's instruction. So his body also became very healthy. Say, look at you. But throughout, because I was thinking some negative thing, he could not realize the positive thing that was happening to him. So that's what happens with all of us when we start complaining about certain sufferings or certain disturbing situation in our life. We start complaining, God, mere saath aisa hona tha. Why with me? Why with me? Huh? But those who have a faith in God, they will not complain because they understand. According to my karma, I have to go through certain reactions. But ultimately, God loves me. Next is, criticize. Quotes again. Before you criticize someone, walk a mile in their shoes. He has a right to criticize who has heart to help. Those who can do it, those who can do it. Those who can't, they criticize. Before you speak, listen. Before you write, think. Before you spend, earn. And before you criticize, wait. So again, criticize, the best example I thought would be Sasbahu relationship. Whatever daughter-in-law, Indian daughter-in-law, she will try to do the maximum things, best things, but mother-in-law, so-called, they're typical, I'm not saying all the mother-in-laws, but sometimes they're typical mother-in-laws, she will always have some complaint about her bahu, her daughter-in-law to say about, but that's not, that's a problem of our mind, of her mind. That's a mental illness. Criticize. So some people see so many good things and little bit, theek hai, isme thoda hai problem, but it's okay. Some people see only, some people see everything equal. Good is also there, bad is also there. And some people, little bad they will see and they will make the whole thing so big. So that's again mental disease, so-called mental disease, which we should think about. So, but what are the causes of this? So about these problems of compare, complain and criticize, our answer is given in our shastras. Our heart is, our consciousness is full with all these anarthas, lust, greed, envy, anger, illusion and false ego. So for comparison, it relates to greed and envy. Then for complain, it relates to sometimes we complain, we become angry. And we complain because we feel that things didn't work out according to my thinking. And we think we are controller, but it's an illusion. You are not the controller. And you criticize because you feel you are the best. You have all right to pass comments on others. So these are the six anarthas. So what do you do about these anarthas? There is a treatment given. What is the solution? How to get rid of these anarthas? There is a A, B, C, D formula. So A, B, C, D formula, first is A for association. If you want to get rid of these vices, we associate with spiritually inclined people and pure devotees of the Lord. Why? Because first of all, they will make you realize that your mind has a problem. And you need to take medicine for that. Then you can become free of that problem. They will inspire you and they will give you hope also. That yes, it is possible to make your mind free of all these vices. And on regular basis, we should hear from them and we should associate with them. Then next is, read spiritual books. Why spiritual books? Because it describes about the transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge means when you attain that knowledge, when you read it, it brings your consciousness on transcendental platform. It inculcates in you spiritual values. It trains your mind in discipline. Huh? And at the same time, you develop faith in God because you read the philosophy. And at the same time, when you read, we read so many pastimes, we read or hear so many pastimes of God. Huh? We have direct contact with God. And that has lot of effect, purifying effect on our mind. Then C is for chanting the holy name. Huh? So this holy name, we are supposed to chant a mantra. What is the meaning of mantra? That is break. Man and tra. Man means mind and tra means to make free of. You make your mind free of misery, then you chant the mantra. So, many people say that many other processes also recommended that for if you want to control your mind, do this meditation and do this process, do this yoga. But in Kali Yuga, scriptures describe that Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy name. Is doing yoga, actual perfect yoga, if you want to do, it is not possible. All the details are given in Bhagavad Gita. How one person can, if he does proper dhyana yoga, then he can attain perfection. But that's not possible in Kali Yuga. But just chanting, simply chanting the holy name, it's a very simple process. And anybody can do. A small boy can also do, adult also can do, old person can do also. Huh? And Brihad Naradiya Purana, it describes that Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyatha. Three times there is a Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam. Holy name and holy name only is possible for the, if they do use, chant the holy name, and that only is, can cause you deliverance, that can deliver you from this cycle of birth and death. Holy name, huh? There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. And in Kali Santana Upanishad, it is described as this chanting, this mantra of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is 16 syllable mantra and it is very powerful to purify our mind and senses if we chant on regular basis. Next is, nobody has a problem with this, huh? Many times when newcomers come, they have a problem, they don't like some devotee, they see some fault in some devotee, huh? Then chanting also, jamta nahi hai, mind concentrated hota nahi hai, very difficult for me. Books also, as soon as I take the book in my hands, Bhagavad Gita, I go to sleep. That's a problem, you know. But prasadam, very, very powerful. We don't realize why it is powerful. Well, it is not just a vegetarian food. It's a sanctified food. It is sanctified because Lord has tasted it and put His all His mercy in that food. And when we partake that prasad, then again it cleanses our mind. It purifies our mind. It purifies our senses. Our thoughts become pure. We can think clear what is right, what is wrong. So this formula of A, B, C, D, very important. And if we do follow this on regular basis, then our mind will become like lotus, unaffected. Where does the lotus grow? In the mud, with so much contamination around it. But it remains beautiful. Doesn't get affected by the contamination around. So similarly, we may be living in city, we may be having lot of temptations or disturbing situations, disturbing sufferings around you. But if we just follow this formula of association, reading or hearing and chanting holy name and taking prasad, then our mind can become lotus, untouched by anything around, pure in service of the Lord. So this is a message we want to give. And mind is not so difficult. Arjuna told Krishna in Bhagavad Gita that it's so restless, it's obstinate, turbulent mind. It is very difficult to control. And Krishna agreed, yes, what you are saying is true. Undoubtedly, the mind is restless and very difficult to control. But if you perform suitable practices and detachment, then you can control the mind. Detachment means, Prabhupada said, four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. And suitable practice means A, B, C, D. If we just do this on regular basis, then we'll have sound mind. So we take inspiration from Bhagavad Gita, and I thank the organizer of the Chetna committee to give me this opportunity to speak again in the midst of all of it, and thank to all of you also for being so patient. We'll have to today skip this question answer session because there is another program in the temple hall. We have to vacate the temple hall in 5 minutes. So we have just have a short kirtan for 5 minutes. And then all of you can go down and take prasad. If you have any problem after the kirtan, you can just come to me. We can have some discussion. Okay? Who's singing? You're singing? 5 minutes only. Already come. So all of you can rise. Stand up. We'll have a short chanting of the holy name. Chanting of a holy name, when we individually chant, then becomes very difficult. But when it is congregation, when it is chanted in company of so many other people and other devotees, then it becomes very easy. And again, it has a very soothing effect on our mind. So let us engage for very short kirtan and get the full benefit of it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,